Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, not the ministry of proclaiming the law, the ministry of this new ministration of the Spirit, have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience on the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, to shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What wonderful, wonderful truth about this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, the question that every person, under the sound of my voice, whether it be on radio, the internet, or right here this morning, needs to ask, was there a time in your life when you trusted in the truth of that glorious gospel? That Christ died for you, and you believe that when God made him to be sin, he did it on your behalf. And he did it for Christ's sake. And if you by faith will accept that and trust that, the Lord Jesus Christ will save you right now without getting up, going anywhere, doing anything, simply by faith in what he's done for you at Calvary. Now then, that part will be on radio. But you're not through yet. I know people always think, boy, I just wish he'd go ahead and stop. I just want to cover a couple more points. We've got about 10 minutes left here. And I always get people out by noon so you can at least tie the Methodist to get into the restaurant. A couple of things about this glorious gospel that Paul preached. He says there, and you know, I love that terminology. It's the Lord speaking, obviously, through him. He said, the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, folks, when you compare the message and the truth of this gospel, compare with what we read back there in Matthew, compare with what's back there in Exodus. I mean, you see, Paul used the illustration. He said, that was a wonderful, wonderful ministration back there, the ministration of the law. You know why it was wonderful? Because it manifested the righteousness of God. The law told, in other words, if a person keep all that, they could be like God. But they couldn't because of the weakness of the flesh. And so Paul tells us about that in Romans chapter 3. But he says, I've got a new message. And it's glorious. It's so much more glorious because, you see, the message today involves nothing that we do. It involves only what Christ did. It involves our acceptance of that. This glorious gospel is the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. This glorious gospel is the gospel that God is using today to form the glorious church, the body of Christ. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now notice, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, what? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ not only saved the church, but he's doing what it takes to present us holy and without blame before him in love. And the Bible says right here that he might sanctify and cleanse it. How? With the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church. Somebody once said that it was all washed and sprinkled in iron, and all ready to be presented, all on the basis of what Christ did. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, what a wonderful picture we have here of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did in our behalf. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, Paul writing again to that very carnal church, Corinth. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 11, and such were some of you. Now the next part of the verse is what is glorious. He does not say, and such were some of you, but you repented and you turned away from all those things. Which, if they were saved, they should have. But the truth of the passage is that these thieves and drunkards and revilers, the Bible says, such were some of you, but what? You are washed. How are you washed? He said back there, with the washing of water by the Word. You know what, folks? Just like you take a bath at night and you take physical water and soap and clean your body, you know what will clean you up for the Lord's service? The Word of God. It'll put you on the right path. It'll put you on the straight path. And it'll correct your actions. Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the Word of God will correct the errors of our life and set us on the right path. You know, I got one of those GPS things in my car, and I just love it. I like gadgets. One of these days, they'll find me on the side of the road and run into a tree, and I'll have something in my hand that I was probably working with in the car. But, by the way, my GPS tells, we were with my niece a couple weeks ago, and they got a new car, and theirs is built in. And they can't enter any data on it while they're moving down the road. And I'm thinking, how stupid. You got to pull over and stop to enter the data. And so yesterday I turned mine on, going down to Birmingham there, just mainly to see what time I was going to be getting there, because it calculates all that. And this little screen popped up. I've had this thing for 2 years now. I've never read the screen. And when the screen popped up, I said, I think I'll read that. I was sitting at a traffic light. And it said, do not operate this piece of equipment while moving in your automobile. I thought, man, I should have read that 2 years ago. I went off the road 2 or 3 days. But you know what? You can enter information in that GPS. You can go through a city. I mean, we're down there in Savannah. You put in a restaurant name and an address, and it doesn't matter where you are, it'll tell you the next turn. It's amazing. It's tracking you by satellite, and it tells you exactly where to turn, how far to go, and it tells you when you're going to get there. And I thought, you know what? People have a GPS spiritually right here. It tells us everything we need to know about what we're doing here, what we need to be doing, and what the end result's going to be. And yet, we leave it closed and on the table. You know, I can take that GPS out of the car, lay it on the workbench here in the garage when I go off. It won't be one bit of benefit to me. You can take your Bible home and you can close it and lay it on your coffee table. Never read, never study. Never come to any understanding of what God wants you to do in your life or how He wants you to live. It's no value to you. Paul said, you're washed. How are you washed? He said that He might sanctify it, cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. By the Word. Such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord. You see, what He's telling us there is these people were terrible. I mean, look at all the things He said they had done. And yet He said, you're washed, you're cleansed. You've been made righteous. You know why? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, He says, God made Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who need no sin. That we might be what? Be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see how God sees the saved person today? He sees us as righteous in His Son. Are our works important? You better believe they are. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we as workmanship created in Christ Jesus and two good works. Let me tell you something, folks. The works have nothing to do with whether you go to heaven or not. It's what you believe. It's what you're trusting in. Is your faith today in that glorious gospel? In the simple, simple fact that Jesus Christ hung on the cross, shed His blood, and that God accepted His blood as a payment for our sin, and forgave us. And you just trust that and realize it. That's how simple it is. You have a sin debt. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. You get that? The gift of God. Did you know that if somebody gives you something and you do anything to earn it, it ceases to be a gift? If you will not allow somebody to give you a gift, I've tried this time and time again and talk with people. Take a dollar bill out and say, will you take this dollar? And generally, almost without exception, I don't think I've ever had it happen, the person at the very beginning said, no, I won't. Now, if they offered me a dollar, say, thank you, it's in my pocket. But most people say, no, that's... And you know what, when I ask them, the last three people, and I can tell you their names, places, where I was when it happened, that I've done that with, they said initially, no, I couldn't take that. I said, why? Well, I didn't earn it. I said, but what if you just understood, standing right here, that I want you to receive this dollar as a free gift? And they say, well, why would you do that? I said, well, because I just want to give you a dollar. And so I finally talked them into taking it. And then, I always do this in relation to salvation. When I talk to you about salvation, I ask them, have you ever received the gift of salvation? And I talked to a young lady down at Gunnersville. She's a little confused about her salvation. She couldn't get everything straight. And I said, do you believe the facts that Christ hung on the cross and died for you? And, yeah, I believe all that. I said, then the question is, have you ever received the free gift? And I took the dollar out. That's exactly what I was talking about. She didn't want to take it. And she finally took it. And I said, just like you received that dollar from me, would you right now receive as God's gift to you the gift of eternal life? Lady asking Jackson said, yeah, I'll do that. And then I said, then are you saved? She said, well, I didn't say a prayer. I didn't really feel anything. I said, well, you know what? You didn't say a prayer when you received the dollar either. See, people get these things ingrained in their mind. It must be saying a prayer. It must be confessing your sin. You're just making it too simple. Paul said, I fear. Lest by any means, as a serpent corrupted your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ, that you should be corrupted. It's easy for us. The only reason it's hard is because of our pride. The same pride that would cause a person to say, I don't want that dollar, I've done nothing to earn it. It's the very nature that causes people to say, it's too simple. It must be something I have to. I've always said that trust is the only thing you can do without doing anything. Just relax. Trust in what He did at Calvary and be saved. You may not feel it. I remember the night I got saved, I didn't cry. Some people do. And I have no problem with that. But I want to tell you what I did do. I had the peace of God that passes all understanding. Because I finally realized what it was all about. It wasn't about me. It wasn't about what I was doing or had done or would do in the future. It was about what my Savior did at Calvary on my behalf. That might make you cry. It should. But I remember that night I had peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. And you know, in all that we do here, that's the only purpose, is to get this message out to people. The first year I was on television, got a call one Sunday night. Girl identified herself by her first name. She said, I'm 16 years old. She'd been going to church all my life. She said, tonight was the first time I can ever remember hearing how you were to get saved. She said, were you telling the truth on your TV program? I said, absolutely I was. I said, and I went through some verses on the telephone. And I said, would you right now receive Jesus Christ your Savior? She said, I sure would. Never found out her last name. Never heard from her again. But that night she said, I'm saved. I thought, that was about the third month we were on TV. It started in 1999. If that was the only result of that TV broadcast, it would be worth it. That young lady gets saved. You see, folks, there's so much out there in the world of religion that corrupts the minds of people from the simplicity that's in Christ. The simplicity of the gospel is He died for you. If you'll trust Him, receive Him as your Savior, He'll save you for Christ's sake. Would you stand with me for prayer?